Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist in Chicago, here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. And I look forward to seeing you October 2nd and 3rd in New York City at my Dog Film Festival. All the info is at DogFilmFestival.com. The Expert Vet is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. And are brought to you by Halo, holistic natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble. No rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. Their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Dr. Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food is here. Halo's pate-style cat food has only 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that has had outstanding success with their human product for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. Dr. Donna, you have such an interesting story to tell us today. It's about dogs that have chronic conditions or diseases, and you're so busy managing all the treatment and diagnosis and so forth that you might miss something, kind of like the red herring. So tell us a little about that, because I know you help a lot of vets behind the scenes in their own practices who have a complicated case. The dog has two or three disease processes, and they might be missing something else. It's sort of like the trees for the forest, right?
Absolutely, and this is my own personal experience with it. And I'll admit, this patient haunts me a little bit. And I give a lot of advice, but, you know, I have to take my own advice as well. And so this case is a dog I think about all the time as I now am managing all my other chronic patients. You know, it's so
explain to us your diabetes. But technically, what is a dog that has a chronic disease?
A chronic condition or chronic disease is anything that, and I love to say this, it is manageable but not curable.
Right.
So arthritis is a chronic disease.
Oh boy.
It's manageable, but not curable.
Yes.
Diabetes is manageable, not curable. Inflammatory bowel diseases, chronic skin allergies. These are all chronic, truly chronic diseases, meaning also there are going to be times when you feel really good with your condition and it doesn't bother you much.
Yes.
And then there are going to be times of the year or the month where you are really feeling crummy and low. They tend to wax and wane. They happen over weeks to months to years. This is not just something that, you know, like a urinary tract infection that you diagnose, you get a treatment, it's cured and you're done.
Right.
These are things that are ongoing, not curable. They kind of wax and wane. They get better and worse. And they have to be managed.
Okay, so that's kind of the definition. So you could easily have, since so many senior pets are now part of our lives, dogs are living so much longer because of excellent medical care, you could theoretically, have a dog that has nearly all of those problems, arthritis, skin allergies, diabetes or kidney disease, maybe bowel problems. So that's where
my little narrative comes in.
Yes.
And so this little Yorkie that I was working with, Toffee, she was 10 years old. And I'll be the first to admit, this dog got a really rough start in life. She, at the age of 1 year old, she dealt with seizures. She was eventually diagnosed with a congenital liver shunt.
Explain what a liver shunt is. A friend of mine who's a vet recently adopted a puppy from a breeder that had a liver shunt and had to have surgery. And a liver shunt is to the rest of us sounds like, I know this is going to sound stupid, but I'm just going to tell you what it sounds like to me. Maybe other people feel it too. A stent. You think of a stent that's put in the heart to help, but a liver shunt is something that's a defect of anatomy.
So it's an abnormal blood vessel, essentially. And instead of blood going into the liver and being filtered, the liver is kind of like the cesspool. It takes everything bad out.
Okay.
Instead of filtering the blood, the dirty blood shunts by the liver and gets dumped out into the brain and the heart.
Ooh.
And so dirty blood is shunting by the liver. So it's an abnormal blood vessel that you know, delivers dirty blood places it shouldn't.
In other words, it bypasses the filtering system.
Exactly. And so we can do another show on that. It's a great topic, actually.
Yes, that would be a great show.
So she was diagnosed with that. And, you know, sometimes those can be corrected surgically, but it wasn't possible for Toffee. And so, you know, she was maintained on kind of a special diet management, medication to control her signs. Owners were told, this is not curable. We're going to have to manage her signs. If she goes off the medication, she's going to have seizures. You know, so there was a lot of management, even as young as a year of age. So fast forward a couple years down the road, Toffee is now having issues with vomiting, diarrhea, weight loss, picky appetite, you know, and lo and behold, she's actually diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease, another chronic uncurable condition that can be better and worse, but now she's on a special home-cooked diet balanced by our esteemed colleague, Dr. Delaney of your pet show, the Pet Food Advisors.
Right?
He helped me work, you know, he worked with me to help create a diet that's high quality that her owner could cook and manage her inflammatory bowel disease, manage her liver disease. I mean, it was fantastic. And she did incredibly well. But again, and I kept saying to the client, you know, these are manageable, not curable conditions. And it's my experience that many pet owners, they have really, I don't want to say difficulty understanding. I think maybe they have difficulty accepting that their pet is affected by a chronic condition. And especially when it happens to a youngster.
It's very confusing. Yeah.
And confusing, but also like they just want a healthy dog. They just want a healthy pet.
Do you mind my asking if you know the answer? Did that puppy come from a pet store, meaning from a puppy mill, or was it bought from presumably a responsible breeder?
It was bought from a breeder.
Okay.
But, you know, so all too often I see owners who make self-directed changes in their pet's therapy. So say Toffee is doing really well with her inflammatory bowel disease. She's going through an upswing. Everything's doing great. We're all happy. All's good. And all of a sudden, an owner will say, well, she doesn't really need that because she really doesn't have this condition. You know, she's doing well. How could she have this chronic condition? So they change their pet's therapy. You know,
off the special diet. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's sort of like people that suffer from depression and take Prozac or another.
And feel great. And then go off their medicine.
Say, well, I don't need it anymore.
Right.
Or they're bipolar and they go off that medicine because now they're okay. They don't realize it's the medicine that made them feel okay or the treatment.
And one call out is chronic conditions wax and wane. They're better, they're worse, but they're not curable. So over a span of like 3 years, I cared for Toffee. This happened several times to her. She would feel a lot better. Her owner would discontinue her medications or decrease them. She would just have a terrible flare-up. She would go through another terrible flare-up of vomiting, of diarrhea. We did this multiple times. And educated people, I mean, this is not a slam to the owner by any, but obviously it was frustrating to the owner, not to mention expensive.
Sure. And all those visits to see you.
Right. And for me and for poor Toffee, who was miserable, like, and we kind of kept having the same conversation. So not that long ago, she came in, same vomiting, diarrhea, weight loss. Her owner had admitted she had stopped two of her several medications for the last month. So I recommended, I was like, really, we need to recheck. We need to kind of get a new temperature of what's going on here. I recommended blood work. I recommended some other tests, including an ultrasound. I was like, I need a full picture of exactly just what's happening. You know, this, we don't want to just have quote unquote tunnel vision and say this is just her IBD. But, you know, the owner felt at that point she was really guilty. She felt terrible. And she was real hesitant to do other diagnostic tests because she knew it was going to be a flare up of the IBD because she admitted, she's like, I stopped the medicines. It's my fault. You know, so I was dealing with a lot of emotion as well with her, how she felt responsible for what was happening to the dog. So I said, well, you know, you're right. It is likely going to be a flare up of her inflammatory bowel disease. But if things aren't getting better, we need to readdress this. So long story bearable, Toffee got back on her medication. She improved dramatically at first. You know, she did much, much better. But she didn't have that full sort of snapback that we would expect from her within a month. So 6 weeks later, she came in a crisis. I mean, she was not well at all. And obviously the owner consented at that point to the full workup that we had talked about, the blood work, the ultrasound. And, you know, and the devastating news here is that her blood work looked incredibly different than anything she had ever had before. And she was ultimately diagnosed with cancer in both her spleen and in her bone marrow.
Oh my God.
And it started, in the spleen is where the cancer started, and it spread into the bone marrow. And it probably happened within that last 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that, and so what haunts me is, had we not waited the 6 weeks, maybe we could have found the cancer when it was only in her spleen.
Yes.
Before it spread to her bone marrow. I mean, it still would have been a crappy prognosis. It still would have been a horrible disease.
But that could have been managed. That would have been a fatal disease, but that it could have been managed. We're going to take a quick break when we come back, talk about how quickly a disease process can happen in a dog, and how waiting and watching is pretty much never, there's never any benefit to that. We'll be right back after this quick break. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. We are back, Dr. Donna. For many of us to think, well, the owner waited a month or 6 weeks and, you know, either didn't want to spend the money or didn't want to put the dog through it, although a blood test and an ultrasound is no invasion at all. It's a little startling to hear that in 6 weeks, cancer or maybe other problems could escalate to the point of them, you know, no longer being really fully manageable. Is that something that we all need to understand better, how fast cancer can course through a dog's body?
Yes, and there are some cancers that are, just like in people, much more highly malignant, you know, pancreatic cancer. You hear about it Monday, and on Friday, you're, you know, in trouble.
Yes.
So, you know, it is, not every cancer is like that, but there are some, and the type of cancer she had is, you know, when it reaches this stage, you know, when it's an internal cancer like this, it spreads rapidly. And so, you know, and it's, I keep using her as a reminder, as a lesson, because from the veterinary side of things, it can be difficult to convince a pet owner, especially an owner who has a pet with chronic conditions like Toffee. I just think she's such a perfect example. This looked just like her IBD flare-up. It did. And the owner had admitted she had stopped her medications. And so, you know, although I was like, we really should look just to be sure, you know, I was like, did I really push hard enough? Did I really? Because, you know, sometimes pet owners look at us as like, you money grubber, you just want to, like, you know, take more blood and do more tests, and then you're going to tell me everything's fine and it's just a flare-up of her IBD. And you and I have talked about that before. I mean, let that be the best news we have.
Absolutely. You know, and the other thing, which I had to recently explain to my sister, whose new vet did not do the senior blood panel, which when I've had it done for Jazzy and Scooby when he was old, runs over $300. The thing to understand, guys, that are listening, and those of you that are vet students or vets know, not a nickel of that goes in the vet's pocket. Those are lab fees. Those go to a laboratory, just like when you go to your doctor or you're in the hospital. It's a whole separate charge for lab fees in the laboratory. Boy, they either deserve the money or whatever, but they're making it hand over fist. So the doctor, the vet, gets the $30 or $40 visit fee and drawing the blood. But all the rest of that charge is not enriching the vet. It's only enriching what the vet knows, right?
Right.
So if you had been a little firmer, and we don't know that you felt it would have been right, and if she had acquiesced, and you'd done that blood test then, and it said, oh my goodness, there's this horrid cancer in the spleen, what would you have done? Would you have had to say, are you ready and willing to go into chemotherapy?
Right. I mean, we would have actually at that point probably been looking at surgery to remove a spleen. and then follow up with chemotherapy. Yes.
So the truth is, to make you feel any better, there's many of us who would say, many of we dog owners who would say, I'm not putting Toffee through that. She's had such a hard life.
Exactly.
She's felt better and worse about 50-50 her whole life. And she's going to die anyway.
Right.
So I'm going to put her through surgery that's stressful and scary and painful. And then chemo, which is less so. People, you know, imagine that chemo is like it is in humans, and it's not. And those of you that want to learn more about what it's really like, please listen to The Pet Cancer Vet with Dr. Sue Ettinger, that's also on Radio Pet Lady Network. I think that, yeah, you would have found it earlier. Can we? Can you make an analogy to this, to my Teddy that we've talked about before, who was... It was not entirely different in the missing of it. On a Friday, he really went off his feed. He was a dog who periodically had bouts of stomach upset. Twice I took him to the emergency facility an hour away because he was throwing up and in such incredible abdominal pain. And both those other times, they found nothing. And I had put it together that the night before, I had given him a lot of pieces of apple. Now, apple is a very acidic fruit. I personally can't eat fruits. They don't agree with me. They're full of fruit acid. Hello. So I thought that was the case the previous times. That was my little personal explanation. Mm-hmm. And on this Friday, there had been no apple. I took him into the vet Saturday morning. He was a sick dog. He looked sick. He acted sick. Mm-hmm. Because he had had abdominal issues before that had never really been given a diagnosis, this vet was sloppy. He didn't take blood as I asked him to. He said, let's wait and watch until Monday. Mm-hmm. On Sunday is when I took him to the emergency place where they said, oh, my God, your dog looks really sick. And they did some tests that says something terrible is going on, but we don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Now, and I was in touch with you. You were on your one holiday and not so easy to reach you. And you said, liver cancer, do a biopsy. You've got to rule out liver cancer. In that case, we're talking, like you said, about pancreatic cancer, just days. I think the message to people needs to be, if your dog is tremendously ill, even if they've had another time where they seemed ill like that, or Toffee, who was always better and worse, there's no reason not to immediately get blood work and do whatever diagnostic you can, right? Because otherwise you look back. And in Toffee's case, I don't know when she died, but in Teddy's case, he was there for 6 days. They wouldn't do liver biopsy. The internist was scared that he might bleed. You said, we can deal with bleeding. He's going to die if we don't find out what it is and treat it immediately. And it was a terrible end. And, and I think if more people understood that doing something diagnostic immediately, whatever it costs, it's not money in the vet's pocket. It's just the cost of these brilliant labs that can find tell you so much information.
Right.
Do you think that that's something that, yes, the vet should push for it more, but people need to really embrace and be grateful for a vet who pushes for it?
Yeah, both of those things. The vet needs to push more, not take such a wait-and-see approach, recognize the gravity of the situation. Owners need to be more willing. And I think this is a nice segue into saying, pet insurance can be a lifesaver because sometimes it does come down to the economics of it.
Yes.
When you're looking at blood work and an ultrasound, boom, you're $600 into it.
That's
if
right.
not more.
That's right.
And so that not everyone has that kind of cash just laying around. And so pet insurance for families like this can, you know, can be a lifesaver for people whose pets develop acute or severe or chronic illnesses. You know, Toffee's owner had spent a lot of money on her care. She had devoted time, she had devoted finances, you know, in this one instance, she was wanted to take a little more of the wait and see because we had been down this road before. But again, had she had pet insurance and I could say, listen, you know, that'll offset your expense. Let's just make sure. Let's just make sure that this is indeed what we think it is, that it's nothing more, you know, and I think that's just it's something nice to fall back on that, you know, that is affordable and can really make the difference when you start dealing with in a more of an emergency situation.
It's important that we get the pet insurance message across louder and stronger than ever. There is more and more testing that can be done, more information that is known about how to diagnose and treat dogs and cats with conditions which are either acute or chronic, but in either case manageable and mean a better quality of life and undoubtedly a longer life. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you for the first time in a long time the name of the insurance company that I just switched to and the importance of doing it the day that you know you're going to get a new puppy, which in my case is the case, or that you're going to adopt a rescue dog from a shelter or a rescue. It's really important to know that illness can strike at any time. Accidents, you know, accidents strangely almost less so, although your dog can run into a stick and get a huge hematoma on his chest, like my friends did, any time that he's out running. But the importance of it for these situations is the difference between being haunted and guilty and feeling bad or feeling poor and feeling confident that you can do everything possible to find out what's going on and then to deal with it. We'll be right back after this quick break. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado who has created many different low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family, cats or people with asthma and allergies. Precious Cat also makes litter for the special needs of many cats, from kitten-attract litter that helps youngsters develop good habits to cat-attract litter that helps those with out-of-litter box issues get back in the box. Precious Cat's Touch of the Outdoors litter provides environmental enrichment, bringing to indoor cats the natural scent of the outdoors from field grasses grown in their own fields. This show is also brought to you by Meow Space, a clear ventilated enclosure that can be a one cat feeding space, a litter box station, or even a safe place to nap, designed so that only one cat with a unique access device can enter the see-through box. Meow Space is made in the USA to solve out of litter box problems and individualized feeding needs in multi-cat households. Big enough for large cats to do their business or small dogs to eat their own food in peace, Meow Space benefits the whole family because it also keeps dogs and small children out of the litter box too. Go to meowspace.biz. That's meowspace.biz to see for yourself. Dr. Donna, I have tried many different pet insurance companies over the years and often switched because what they appeared to be covering changed over time. Underwriting and insurance is something that's kind of a mysterious part of the insurance industry, but the underwriter is the one who takes on the risk and pays out. So if you change underwriters as a pet insurance company, then what they will do for the pet owner changes. So you go in thinking you're going to get A and it turns out to be B. I switched to veterinary pet insurance, which is the oldest, largest company, because they're basically self-insured. They've always had the same underwriter for, pick a number, as long as they've been around, I think 25 years. And I think that's really important, knowing going in that whatever that pet, whatever condition that pet's in now, they will cover anything that changes or happens from that moment forward. There's a two-week waiting period. Mm-hmm. And you can choose different deductibles and different reimbursements, but it's a concept that people still in America have a hard time understanding. The doctor, the veterinarian, doesn't participate with any insurance company. Like, you only go to a doctor who takes Blue Cross or United Healthcare as a human. Mm-hmm. Vets simply give you a bill, and you present that bill. You scan it and email it, or fax it, or snail mail it to the insurance company, and they've now gotten so user-friendly that they will, in some cases, put the money that they owe you, that they are going to reimburse you, right back in your checking account, or right back on a credit card if you paid for it that way, or send you a check. And it's your responsibility to submit the bills, but once they're submitted, the insurance company looks at it and says, okay, well, Toffee would not have been covered for the liver shunt and any of its adjuncts, but Toffee would have been covered for cancer. Mm-hmm. So because she was born with the problem, that's considered, you know, an inherited disease. But right. Anything else that happened, like somebody drops something on her and she breaks her leg, that's covered. Or mm-hmm. The cancer would be covered, or a bout of whatever would be covered, or if she got Lyme disease and had problems for that, it would mm-hmm. be covered. It's important for people to know that those bills will be covered if you just mail them in. It's mm-hmm. not a question of, does that vet participate? The vet has nothing to do with the pet insurance. It's a very different right. model than, I guess you could say it's more like car insurance. You buy car insurance, they cover a Ford or a BMW, right?
Right, exactly.
And it doesn't matter which state you're in when the problem happens, or whether a Ford or a BMW crashes into
right.
you.
Exactly.
Or a deer crashes into you.
Right.
They cover you regardless. You send them the bill, or they send an evaluator, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what percentage, having being an internal medicine person who sees the most complex and complicated of cases in general, what percentage of people that see you have pet insurance? Is it a tiny percentage?
Tiny. It's tiny.
It's such a shame because it puts you in the position as the doctor of knowing that you have diagnostics and knowing that you have treatment that would give you valuable information and allow mm-hmm. you to lessen the severity of an illness, shorten the progress of that disease, and perhaps lengthen the life of the pet and certainly the quality of life. It's just, you know, if only vets could say the very first time someone brings in that cat from the shelter or that puppy from the breeder, which I'm about to do, hi, oh my God, how cute, congratulations, please get pet insurance.
Right.
Because the vet doesn't make any money from it. It's not something that the vet is involved in other than to say, please get protection so if anything happens, I'm there for you.
Right. And that is actually starting to be a lot more common. You know, the offices that I work in, you know, because I go into a lot of general practitioner offices, they have pamphlets. It's part of their new puppy, new kitten packet, you know, so that it is becoming more prevalent because I think, you know, it's just an easier talking piece for exactly the reasons you've stated. I mean, it covers emergencies. It covers, you know, but no one gets it when they get their brand new puppy or thinking about, you know, a dog
right.
who's 10 and gets diabetes or not.
That's right.
But
in fact, there's a lot of 2-year-old boxers with cancer, I'm sorry to tell you, and 3-year-old golden retrievers. And that's not the ones who, you know, have other problems that come up. But if the puppy eats your bra, how many times have we heard of puppies eating bras? It's really amazing.
It just seems
to be the most delicious.
They have to go through the pantyhose and underwear first.
Right. And then they work their way up to a bra as they get older. But these are life-threatening things to have in your digestive system. They require surgery. And that would be covered. And the other thing is that the VPI has a reimbursement for office visits and vaccinations, which with a Weimaraner puppy, I'm going to be very careful, do the minimum, break them up into multiple visits, by the way, which is what you need to do for the immune system of sensitive breeds of dogs, Akitas, mm-hmm. German Shepherds, Old English Sheepdogs. There's a lot of breeds that they now say do not just routinely vaccinate with all three vaccines at once. Right. It's going to cover each of those visits, you know, some good percentage of it. I think there's a yearly deductible as well, which is normal. We all know about deductibles in house insurance, car insurance, and even in human insurance. It's just really disturbing that people want to kind of whistle down the path and go, well, I'm going to take good care of my dog, so he'll be fine. But, you know, accidents happen and illness happens, and it's nothing to do with the quality of your care or the quality of the mother dog's care or nutrition. It's nothing to do with those things. You know, things happen, and the diagnostics allow us to find out a lot sooner. I mean, Toffee was how old when it was found?
10.
Toffee was 10 when the cancer happened, but she had these other problems, the liver shunt
from
birth,
a year of age.
Mm-hmm. From a year.
Yeah, I mean, when it became obvious, it was closer to a year.
So,
but she had a lot of tests and medical care for 9 years.
Which is just a lot of years of money, a lot of bills that would have been paid and a lot of decisions that might have been different. Not that you would flaunt it and go, sure, what the heck, I'm not paying for most of it, so go ahead and do it. No one's going to do that. But to get that more information, I mean, even, you know, we talked recently about Lyme disease, even something like that, where you get the test and then...
And then you get the urine and then you get the follow-up test. And,
yes.
Yeah, I mean,
all those things add up money-wise. And it's a great relief to know you can give that higher level and quality of care because you have the coverage. Anyone who is still baffled about it, I mean, it's confusing because you go online and there's all kinds of paid Google ads that take you places. And there's 8 other companies, and I've actually tried 3 of the others myself.
Right.
And each one had some aspect that changed. Oh, well, we're not going to cover that anymore. Oh, now there's a lifetime limit on that illness. So that's not good if you have arthritis, because I maxed out on 2 of my dogs. You think, well, I cover them from a young age, so I'm paying in my premium. And by the way, guys, it's like $30 a month.
Right.
It, over the long term, that's really not a lot of money when you consider the cost of one expensive blood test, you know? You pay all year and it would cover one blood test in a sense.
Right.
But I think that you think, well, okay, if the dog develops arthritis at 7 and now I want to do stem cell treatment, which I tried, and you want to do laser and you want to do injections and you want to do ultrasound and you want to do acupuncture, you think, well, that'll all be covered because I've been paying in all their lives. And then, unfortunately, in some companies, there's a lifetime limit on one illness.
Right.
So once they reach that maximum, I think it was $7,000, which sounds, well, that's generous. It's not. Not if you look at the whole lifetime of a dog being managed with a chronic illness.
Right.
Then, you know, now you're not covered anymore and you can't get another pet insurance because it's a pre-existing condition.
Right.
So you basically want to get that insurance as quickly as possible so that anything that isn't wrong with the dog now is not a pre-existing condition, and you hope it never happens.
Right.
I've never had the privilege of owning a dog. I've always insured all my dogs. Have you ever had a dog that you went, at Donna, to age 7 and you never had a problem, a serious problem? I mean, it just never happened to me.
Grief. It's a veterinarian's dog. Of course not. That's never the case.
That's right. You guys get the most complicated ones.
Well, because we often are adapting out of the bottom of the barrel, the ones
that are not. Yeah.
Whatever. It's all right.
Yeah, but the bottom of the barrel means something that the owner said, I love him, but I can't afford the care. And the vet invariably says, I'll do the surgery, I'll do the follow-up.
You know, that's it. We do get a lot of relinquished pets because you're like, well, if you just fix this problem, they're going to be a fine pet. But sometimes for people that can't afford the fix, you know, it's just not realistic. So.
And they wind up being as haunted and sad and guilty, you know, as anybody could possibly be, because there was a way to deal with it and treat it. And they're heartbroken. They're losing this darling friend of theirs, this family member. So pet insurance allows doctors like Donna to find out what's going on, to diagnose it and to treat it and to manage it.
And also keeping up, like in your dog that has the chronic condition of diabetes, their older dogs with issues, they're going to get other problems.
That's right.
And so routine health care in your pet with chronic illness, making sure we get blood work every 6 months, chest and belly x-rays at least annually to screen for other things, you know, because we don't want to forget. We don't want to get tunnel vision. We want to keep up with the routine health care.
And manage anything else that comes up and squash it before it becomes chronic. Donna, thanks for this great advice. I'm sure that Toffee's owner, you know, was grateful for all the years of wonderful care you gave. And it's really sad when an animal that's had to fight illness their whole life gets an even worse one. But, you know, this is just part of owning a pet. There's a lot of emotional expenditure, and we'd like to minimize your financial expenditure by having you get pet insurance. And there's lots of other good companies, but for myself, having really studied this under a microscope, for me, I've picked VPI, and little William Wegman, the Weimaraner puppy, I signed him up at 6 weeks, knowing I would pick him up at 8 weeks, and he would be covered from the day I drove home. You know, I mean, if he throws up in the car, that's not a medical emergency. But other than that, anything that happens after that, I can waltz into the vet and know that they've got my back. Thank you so much, Donna. Have a great rest of the day. And I look forward to hearing about a new little puppy in your life sometime soon.
Yes. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.